Good evening.
This is your brother Elohim live checking in. I apologize for not checking in at times I'm supposed to be checking in, but I need to go live. I need to broadcast, so I'm broadcasting. I'm here, okay? I'm in an underwater situation, but we're here, and I'm going to be the talk for today is well, the topic today is how do we access the Christ consciousness? Well, that's a very interesting topic. But before we get into it, we're going to talk a little bit. My favorite subject, we're going to talk about love. Now, you know, love is an act that makes us feel good. Sometimes when you're dealing with love, it gets a little tricky because this culture teaches obsessionism, not love. You become obsessed with a person and you become idolized. You can idolize a person. This culture is basically idolatry. I'm just going to say it like it is. And they're making idols out of people. So the people become their idols. So you'd be stalking your idols and things of that nature, trying to find that one piece of feeling that's inside of you that you might need to make your life just a little bit better. Well, don't always work that way. Like we say, love is an act. They make others feel good. So let's just talk about that for a few minutes. I do this every I open up the show with love because that's what we need. We're in these groups, we're in families, we don't have our families together, we don't love each other, you know, because we don't know how. What you're supposed to be doing is learning everything you can about the people around you. Find out what they like, what they don't like, what they like to wear, what they like to watch, what kind of TV shows they're talking about. These are some of the things that you need to do. When you find these things out, then if you're around them all the time, you know what you can talk about with them. You talk about things that they like. You know how to interact with people a little better because you know where they're coming from, where they live at. Now, remember, it's not up to you to really change a person to be what you want. When you meet a person or you get involved in a group, you check the group out, check the person out. Try to make sure that it is what you want when you get into it, okay? Don't try to get into a situation, then change it around. That's not going to work. That's very, very difficult. You become a villain, and the next thing you know, we're not loving each other, okay? The love is gone. We're not loving each other. It just gets crazy after a while, okay? So that's what I'm saying. So, like I'm saying, I'm a little bit under the weather, but we're going to keep broadcasting no matter what, okay? So now, we're talking about the Bible. We love talking about the Bible 2.0 because it's one of the most powerful books that you can have, okay? The Bible is, it's not a religious book. I got to say that again. The Bible is not a religious book. It's a book for building empires, okay? You wonder where these cave dwellers and all these people got this information from, how to set things up and how to do things. There's an outline description in the Bible. Now, they are afraid that the people are going to be able to access the book and get what they need out of the book, okay? But because if the people really access the Bible for what it is, that will create a problem for the powers that be because they will begin to know who they are. And once you know who you are, then you know what you can do and what you're capable of. This is what we're dealing with, and this is what we're going on right now. We don't know what we're capable of. So when we're talking about the book, we always start off with Psalm 82:6. You are God's. What I'm saying, and y'all sure say this is not written in your law that you are God. That's in another verse. So let's start right there. Well, that's who you are. When they said, let us make men and women in our image. See, men and women, that's the child. That's the children. Those are the babies. They're not children, teenagers, and all that kind of stuff. They're men and women coming out of mama's womb. That's who they are. And as men and women, they grow into their godhood, and they want to begin to design. They want to begin to they become designers. That's why when the children get to a certain age, when the children get to a certain age, they don't want your they don't want you telling them. They want to figure out for themselves what kind of life they want, how they want to live, and what they want to be. You start asking them at an early age, what do you want to be, honey? You know? And one of the best things that you can do is be an example for your child. Give them an example of what this is, what that is, what they could be, what they, you know, what they could be based on what you are, you know? So you can do that. Now, but you have to be mindful. You have to be mindful all the time, because what you're dealing with is a God. You're training a God. You're training a man and woman to be a God. Now, let me tell you why the Bible is so dangerous, why the actual thought process of the Bible is so dangerous, because they have restrictions on what men and women can do. Every parent put restrictions on their child. Men and women are the children of the Bible. I'm just telling you what's up. They're the children. That's what the restrictions are for. That's why they can't do this and they can't do that. But if you accept the book, I'm not talking about believing it. If you accept the book and accept what it's telling you, then the restrictions that they have on men and women don't apply to you. Women can't teach this. Women can't do that. Women is always in the over. The man is the head of the house and yada, 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 you know? It don't always work that way, because once you realize who you are, you have no limit. There are no restrictions on you. There's nothing on the planet that you cannot do. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing on the planet that you cannot do. All you have to do is recognize who you are and begin act accordingly. Now, with your life, what you need to do is sit down and when you get to a certain age, or even now, no matter how old you are, if you can be 50 years old and start over, okay? Go back to school, go to college, be something different that you want to be, whatever you want to do. There's no restriction. There's no limit on you as to what you can do. That's the point that the book is trying to tell you. You have no limit. And there's only one law that permeates. I'm going to be saying this almost every time I plug in. So you say, well, I heard it before. Yeah, you're going to hear it quite a few more times. There's only one law that permeates the entire universe. That law is you reap what you sow. Why is saying it like that so important? Because reap what you sow brings the morality back to science, okay? Let's deal with this science thing, all right? If you sow two chemicals together, you're going to reap a reaction. You put mathematics on it to control the reaction. Isn't that science? See what I'm saying? But if you take the reap what you sow out, that's the moral implication that you're not supposed to do things to other people that you would not done to yourself. That's the moral implication of all that. That's how this works, okay? Well, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring you into a conscious reality of who you are, what you're supposed to be doing, and what's going on, okay? They have you wondering questions that's so easy to answer. Once you accept the Bible for what it is. Now, the problem that we have is that we have all these different groups out here, so many different groups, and they have belief systems. They bring their belief system to the book, and they're trying to explain what they believe based on what the book is saying. And when they get done, hey, it makes good sense. you know, based on what they're saying. But at this point in time, okay, they are not supposed to be your teacher. This consciousness that permeates the entire universe, that's your teacher. Let me say this to you guys out there right now. There is no spirituality. There is no soul. All this stuff is stuff they made up because they don't want you to realize what's going on. You are an incorporeal entity formed in flesh. That's who you are, okay? An incorporeal energy formed in flesh, connected to a massive consciousness, a universal consciousness. Some people call it the universal mind, but it's a Christ consciousness, okay? Now, let's break that flow down just a little bit. Now, wait a minute. What are you talking about, the Christ consciousness? That started with Jesus? No, it did not start with Jesus, okay? The oral tradition of the consciousness started with the Dogons. You have to go look up on the Dogons' history. They have the oral tradition, okay? We might get into a little bit of pre-Bible tonight since I'm going into the Christ consciousness. We might talk about a little bit of pre-Bible, but I want to drop as much information as I can. The oral tradition started with the Dogons, okay? The first written tradition, we're talking about the Christ consciousness, okay? The first written tradition started with Isis and Osiris. They spell Christ K-R-S-T, okay? The next flow went to Amun-Ra. That's why you say Amun and all your prayer. Then it went to Upanishad, okay? That's been the most in the Hindu hookup. Then it went to Buddha. All right, from Buddha, it went to Jesus of Nazareth. Then from Jesus, it went to Muhammad. Muhammad was the last embodiment of the Christ consciousness flowing through a person, which made that person an icon, okay? The idea of the consciousness is to unify the five tribes, black, brown, red, yellow, and white. Each tribe make up one-fifth of the world's population. We have to get in there. Now, we have a society called Elohim's Five Tribes Society of Love, all right? So now at this day and time, this consciousness permeates the entire universe, and we are conscious. You have to be conscious enough to link up to it, okay? Because you have to be conscious enough to recognize this conscious information that's coming in. Now, when this information comes in, it ain't always coming from the proper source, right? Because the mind, the mind through this consciousness is connected to everything in the universe. I'm telling you straight up. Now, remember the old cartoons they used to have? You used to have the devil on one shoulder and the angel on another shoulder. When it's information coming in, you have to realize, wondering if it's just some stuff you're making up, you know, something that you've been heard on the radio or television and just come up with these different ideas. You need a core book to ground you. I recommend the Authorized King James Version, okay? A lot of controversy about that because people just don't know how to read the book. That's what's going on. So we're at this point. We're going to give you an idea of how to read the book, okay? So now that you understand where the Christ consciousness is coming from, all right, how the flow is, you have to realize that in this day and time, your consciousness is so high because you are designers. That's who we are. When we talk about God, we're talking about designers. We're not talking about somebody snap their fingers and a mountain fall down, okay? Or we can bring fire and brimstone to destroy a mountain. We got it like that now. See what I'm saying? Based on who we are. Let's go in that direction just for a minute, okay? In Psalm 82:6, it says that you are a God. If you are a God, right, everywhere in the book, giving you trying to show you how to access the Bible itself, not what your members or believers are telling you, okay? Not what these preachers and soothsayers are telling you. I'm trying to get you to access the Bible's thought process. It has its own thought process. That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid you're going to wake up and really learn how to read the book. Well, I'm here to tell you how to read the dog thing, how to get started. So if it says that men and women are God, everywhere that you see a man, see God, they're talking about a man or a woman. All right? That's what they're talking about. So everywhere they're talking about a man or a woman, let's go back to the beginning when they say God made the heavens and the earth. That means men and women had the technology to make planets. Okay? And we're coming back into that technology again. I'm going to be saying this quite a few times on the air. Probably almost every show. Okay, I'm going to be saying it every time I plug in, because this message needs to get out. Okay, you need to hear this. You need to get this. I know I'm having all kinds of trouble with the phones. I'm having trouble getting on the air, having trouble finding the right place to be on the air and things of that nature. But I'm here. I'm broadcasting. For some reason. Everything has turned out so that I can literally broadcast in a quiet place from where I am. I don't have no control over it, but right now I'm broadcasting and it's quiet, okay? Now, because we have to get this message out. Now, am I qualified to be your teacher? No. The master teacher, the only qualified person to teach you is Christ himself. Okay, this Christ consciousness. Now, Christ is connected to the consciousness, to everything in the universe. So are you. Okay, so are you. You're connected just like they are. Okay, you're connected just like Christ. Okay, but you have to accept this connection. That's how you connect up. You have to accept it. I accept that Christ is going to teach me directly. When I ask my questions, I'm going to get the answers to the question that I'm asked from Christ himself, okay? All right? This connects you to the consciousness of what some people call the universal mind. We want you connected up. Now, why is this important at this end time? Because we're not indigenous to this planet. Hello? Modern man is not indigenous to this planet, all right? And the planet we come from, we burnt the face of the planet off. That's why we had to come here, all right? I'm talking about Mars. We came in from Mars, just so that you know what I'm talking about, okay? If you want to look up, find a little more about that, look up the Lemurians, okay? And give you some kind of information on what's going on. And then go back into the Dogon history, their oral tradition. They'll tell you where we come from. We come from Cyrus A, Cyrus BC. We come from that area up there. That's how we came in. This is where we came from, okay? Now, I'm not going to get into pre-Bible right now, but as incorporeal beings, all right? Now, this information is laid out in the doggone Bible. We're not about Cyrus A, B, and C. But the information is laid out as far as us not being from this planet. It's laid out in Genesis. They're explaining it to you, but they're not explaining it to you in a way that it will connect you to the heaven. And you're supposed to be connected to the heavens. That's tricky. We're going to get into that one day. Because actually the earth is called heaven. That's something to think about. When they say you're going to die and go to heaven, and the earth was once called heaven, hello? Everybody that has died so far has went to heaven. Well, let me leave that one alone. But there's an incorporeal being that lives inside of you that's immortal, doesn't die. When the physical body shut down, they send it to heaven, an incorporeal being go forth doing more work. We'll get more into that as time goes on. I'm just going to see where the flow takes me. I don't have nothing set up for today. I'm just flowing right now. You know, I'm not even sure that I'll be able to stay on for the full hour. But right now, we're broadcasting and we're trying to get this thing right. What's today? Well, right now we're broadcasting, okay? And we're trying to get this down to the best of our ability, so we know exactly what we're doing, how we're doing it, okay? Now, we're going to be taking a couple of music breaks. I have an album on the market, CD, okay, called Jesus is Coming, 911 Jesus Emergency, all right? Now, what I'm going to do, in fact, we're going to take a break right now, and I'm going to play one of the songs off my album, okay?
Hello? Yes, is this Reverend Rooney? Yes, it is. Well, I haven't been to church lately, and I'd like for you to make a 911 emergency call to Jesus and tell him that I need him right away. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll make the call. Just hold on for a minute. Hold on.
Called 911 Jesus Emergency. That's on the CD. The CD's on the market. You can go to Amazon, YouTube, Spotify. It's everywhere out there. You can get it. And if you want to just listen to it, then go to YouTube, 911 Jesus Emergency on Elohim Christ. Jesus is coming, and you'll be able to hear, you'll be able to listen to the whole album at that particular point, okay? So now, let's get back into where we were, okay? This is very interesting because I be listening to the shows all the time. Different people, they be debating this Bible back and forth, arguing about it. I've seen guys just throw the book in the trash, okay? I'm sticking up for the Bible. They don't know how to read it. That's the problem, okay? Like I tried to tell them, the Bible is an empire-building book, right? You want a way to get the knowledge from them to do what they're doing, how they're able to do everything they're doing. They have a perfect guide right in the Bible. You say, well, if they're following the Bible, why do we have slavery and all that? Go to Deuteronomy. You read the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the science of slavery, okay? If you read the book of Deuteronomy, you'll see that it's all about slavery. And if you see how they have been treating everybody other than them until now, and you look at the book of Deuteronomy, that's exactly how they played the hand. Exactly how, okay? That's what I'm telling you. It's an amazing book. Now, as God, you can make, you can alter some of the things that are going on in the book. You can't alter the book. Now, that's, we don't want you to alter the book. But where's, I'll give you an example. In 1630, they declared white folks, the term white people, legal. And they began setting themselves up as the chosen people, okay? Now, if you look at Deuteronomy, you talk about the chosen people, and you see how the chosen people, who will call themselves the Jews, who will call themselves the chosen people, treated everybody else. This is why they had so much trouble maintaining the places that they took over, because the universe works on you, reap what you sow. And a lot of the just taking people's stuff and murdering people and all that they were doing, they had to pay for that, and they did. They're still paying for it. It's still paying for it somewhat today, you know, and we're paying for it as well, because Brown Young White was guilty, very guilty of atrocities, you know. The biggest problem we have on the planet right now, man's inhumanity to man. You know, I mean, it's just amazing, because this planet is literally a paradise. We have, as gods, we have the design mentality to make this planet do whatever we want it to do, you know? But we have to wake up. We have to grow into that design mentality so we know exactly what's going on and what we're trying to do. So if we get into the Bible thought process, I'm not talking about the different groups out there. Well, you got the Christians, you got the Jehovah's Witness, you got Jennings, you got Islam out there, you got Farrakhan, you got everybody out there. You know, you got T.D. Jakes, Joe Olson, all these guys are teaching, but they're not teaching the Bible's thought process, okay? Now, the people they're teaching, I can't be mad at them, because the people aren't doing drugs no more. They're not on the street. They ain't robbing nobody. They ain't stealing from nobody. So I can't get mad at the preachers for doing what they're doing, you know? And if you're comfortable with that and that's where you like living at, then I don't have a problem with you staying there, you know? It's not my job to take you outside of your comfort zone, but it's my job to alert you that there was a master teacher out there that you can connect to by just accepting the fact that the consciousness is there. And when you want questions answered, go to the consciousness, not to the explanations that the so-called scholars are putting in the book. We don't need the scholars to interpret the Bible. That's another thing I have to get out of. We do not need the scholars to interpret the Bible. The Bible says what it says, and it means what it means. Okay? Just because they don't understand it, they're trying to figure things out, but that's not how it works. Okay? Just like in one passage, it says that if you put away your wife or husband, you commit fornication. Or you see, that's a translation error, because you know Jesus is smart enough to know the difference between fornication and adultery. And how can you put your parents away and get adultery? Yes, ma'am. Okay, we're gonna go to a little music right now, and I'll be back to you right after this song. Okay.
Yeah, I'm broken.
Hello.
Yeah, is this resonating with me?
Emergency.
servant of fit, and he didn't know who to turn to. He went to this man that was down in Galilee. He asked him, would you take the time to come and talk to him?
Make the call. Jesus will solve your problem tonight. Thank you very much. That's another song off the album. I'm going to be playing music throughout the hour because there will be interruptions because I'm in an area that I can't control the environment, which is okay. Okay. Now, let me get the next song that I'm playing. Now, where are we at? We're talking about how powerful the Bible is. Talking about the science of slavery. Now, if you're wondering where they got it from, it didn't come from Billy Lynch and all that kind of stuff. Like they're trying to, it came out of the book. That's how powerful this book is. Taking stuff out of the book, renaming it so that you don't know where it came from. Like, okay, I'm a vegan, right? I don't eat no animal. I'm calling myself a vegan now. But we used to call ourselves vegetarians, but they got the vegetarians eating fish and eggs, which I don't know how eggs and fish are vegetables. So we stopped using the term vegetarian. Now we're calling ourselves vegan. But in reality, it's the Genesis 1:29. It's the Genesis diet. I've given you herbs and every plant-bearing seed for meat, okay? We're not supposed to be eating flesh, okay? The herbs and fruits and vegetables, that's our meat. That's what we're supposed to be living off. When you ask yourself the question, though, that, like, that's what I'm saying about accepting the Bible. The Bible says that we live from 200 to 900 years. So the question is, what am I doing? Okay, if I accept the book of what it's saying, my question would be, what am I doing that I can't live for 200 to 900 years? What am I doing wrong? So you go back in the book, these people that was living for these 800, 900 years, what the heck were they eating? What were they living off of? You follow what I'm saying? And the diet is right there in Genesis 1:29, I think it is. I think it's Genesis 1:29. But it's within a couple of verses, so you're right there, okay? I was telling you, I'm giving you the stuff for meat. This is what they were eating. They weren't killing and slaughtering animals and all that stuff. They weren't doing that, okay? Because when Adam and Eve first became God, oh, yeah, I'm going to say that again. When Adam and Eve first became God, right, they weren't consuming flesh, okay? They did not consume flesh, all right? Like I said, God is a designer. You can look, read this in the book. Where as soon as they realized when they ate from the forbidden tree, okay, and they realized that they were naked, what did they do? They automatically went to designing. They sewed some leaves together to make an apron. They start designing, and God was saying, who told you you were naked? So if God didn't even tell them they were naked, you know he didn't tell them, okay, how to sew leaves together to make an apron. All right, and later on, let's throw that thought process off. It tells you that God gave them sheepskin to wear. Okay, and these people weren't killing animals; they weren't eating animals. See, so they didn't make sheepskin for themselves, and they were animals where they were. Why didn't he just grab an animal, kill an animal, make sheepskin for themselves? They didn't destroy animals or stuff like that, okay? In fact, if you really get into the book, the animals themselves, because I used to wonder all the time, I said, wait a minute, man. Why, how in the world could Noah get all these different types of animals and stuff on a boat? Now, I'm accepting the fact that he did it, but now my questions are coming out. But if you read in the first part of Genesis, the animals didn't eat each other either. Each kingdom ed from a different kingdom, okay? The animal kingdom didn't eat animals, all right? They ate from the vegetable kingdom. Everybody ate from the vegetable kingdom. In other words, that's what the book said. See what I'm saying? Now, if all the animals ate from the vegetable kingdom, all right, I can see how he got them all on the boat because he wasn't dealing with flesh eaters and all that kind of stuff. He could have gave them all milk or whatever. It makes more sense, but it's in the book. But you have to ask yourself the question. If you're not asking the question, see, this is what they're doing. They're manipulating your mind so that you don't ask the question. Jesus said, ask. And it shall be given unto you. So if you're not asking, how are you getting? You can't get an answer to a question that you never ask. That's why in school they tell you there's no such thing as a stupid question. You see what I'm saying? Ask the question anyway. If you feel as though you need an answer for it, ask it. But how are you going to ask Christ for answers to questions that you don't have? See? And if you accept the book for what it is, oh, you'll have plenty of questions because there's things going on and you say, well, how did this guy do that? You know, you have to ask yourself, how did this guy do that? You know? And you start working on different ways to make this happen and to make that happen. You know what I mean? So this is what you do. Okay? So this is what you do. This is how you do it. Now, okay. Let's get back into that. Adam and Eve being God. They were gods, I'm telling you. Because once they ate the fruit, they became gods. That's who they were. All right? But that's what the book says. See what I'm saying? Now, I'm not trying to explain what the book says. That's what the book says. You feel what I'm saying? So those who don't want you to deal with the thought process of the book, they're going to explain it. Well, this means that. This means that. They're not qualified to explain the Bible to you. Nobody out there is qualified. You want to know what Moses wrote? Who you need to talk to? You need to talk to Moses. Well, Moses ain't here. All right? You want to know what Joseph wrote and all these guys and what they did? Well, the guys that wrote the books ain't here. So you got these Johnny come lately, 2,000 years later, trying to explain, oh, well, he's a scholar and and they don't have a clue to what they're talking about. And that was explained to you when Nicodemus ran into Jesus. And Jesus asked him questions, said, hey, you teaching the people? How come you don't know these things? You follow what I'm saying? He was part of the Sanhedrin. These were the scholars that were teaching the people the book, the so-called Sanhedrin. You know, these were these people knew the Bible. They knew the law. They knew all this stuff. They knew the law, okay, because the Bible wasn't there then. They had what we call the Torah. There was no Bible. or just the Torah, because the teachings of Yeshua hadn't come into being yet. Okay, he was on his journey. So this is where they were getting their information from, because he was actually on his journey. Okay, now here's the next question. Okay, there's so much that I can talk about here, you know, because I've started with a fixed thought in my mind, but the old saying that I was through your mouth. Now I'm getting more and more, because I thought I started talking 5 minutes, I wouldn't stop. But now that the flow is coming out for me, it's just coming. You see what I'm saying? I'm feeling pretty good about talking now, because I'm realizing that there's a whole lot to talk about, all right? Now, we're going to talk about some things. Now, I'm going to be skipping around a little bit, okay? But you can go in and read this stuff for yourself with the thought process that you're under now, the Bible's thought process. I'm not talking about a Christian thought process or a Muslim thought process or Seventh-day Adventist thought process. I'm not thinking about none of those thought processes. The Bible has its own thought process. To access the Bible's thought process, you have to accept the book, not believe in the book. Because if you believe in the book, you're trying to explain it, make sense to other believers. That's not what you're here for. That's not what you're here to do, because you're not qualified to teach the book. None of these people out here qualified to teach the book. None of them, the pastors and the ministers and the prophets, none of them are qualified to teach the book. Only Christ's consciousness. I'm saying consciousness because the physical embodiment of Christ, of Jesus, ain't here, ain't coming. I'm telling you now. It's that incorporeal being, okay, that's here through the consciousness of the universe that's beginning to teach. But you have to accept it. You have to accept that that's what's here. Now let's talk about something that's going that's going to help you in today's situation, right? With everything. Now, those of you who read the Bible or study the Bible and all that, you know about Joseph's you know about Joseph's story, you know? So we're not gonna go through the whole story, because that's another trap. You get caught up in the story and you miss the moral implication of the story. What was at the end of the story, Joseph told Pharaoh, right? Spend the crop for 7 years, save the crop for 7 years, spend half, save half. That's what we call the 50% budget. For those of you who are in earshot of my voice, you should be on the 50% budget. I don't care how much you make. If you're making $1 million a day, then you're supposed to be saving $500,000 a day. That's supposed to go on a back burner for future investment. You're only supposed to be spending half of what you're making, okay? If you're doing that, you always have a nice stash. You always have a nice little lump sum of money that you can do something with. Because soon something happens, bam, at 10% they're talking about, that money's gone. You're not going to have that. Now, let's get into a little bit of that. Now, there's a methodology that children can use. I'm switching up a little bit. There's a methodology that the children can use to when they're first coming out of school. All right. Now you got to remember, I'm saying children. I don't even like to use the term children. The men and women when they're coming out of school. Okay, that's better for me. I got to get used to saying it too. They got me programmed as well. The men and women that are coming out of school. All right. If you teach them the 50% budget, push them away from renting, okay? Now, your parent, they're going to school. When they first get out of school, get their first job, don't be in a hurry to push your children out of the house. But don't let them sit around the house playing video games all day either, you know what I mean? But don't be in a hurry to push them out of the house. When they, when they get their first job, right? Now, I'm talking to the children whose parents haven't been to college, and whose parents aren't making enough money so that the children can have what they need to go to school. All right? Now, this is based on a 50% budget, okay? You can go to school, you can do whatever you want, but you have to learn how to design your life to make this happen. And this is what the book does. This is what the Bible does. It will help you design your life to make things happen, okay? The first thing you do, you get two jobs. Don't worry about going to the parties and having fun like they have your programs up on television. Oh, I had a good time. You know, everybody jumping around in the doggone club, wasting time and money, okay? Drinking poison to make yourself dizzy, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, the most loneliest place in the world is at a club with a whole bunch of people. It's a very lonely place. And this is where everybody's getting drunk, making, getting into their imagination, you know? You're not really having fun, okay? And you're just taking your mind off reality of what's going on around you on your job and every darn thing else, but you're not really having fun. Oh, I had a good time. No, you didn't. You come, you're drunk, you got a headache, can't eat the next day. That's not having a good time. You know, you're destroying the very main thing that you need to carry you for 200 years. Your body, you're putting that poison in your system, okay? You're not having fun, and your body is not really enjoying it either. I'm telling you straight up. But anyhow, back to the economic portion here coming out of the book. You work two jobs, okay? Live off one job and save the other. Most jobs pay at least $10,000 a year, right? And if you're working two jobs, living off $10,000, trying to stay with your parents. Now, you're young, coming out of high school now. Coming out of high school, trying to get to college and all that. And those of you don't have college money and all that kind of stuff, this is how you get it. You work two jobs. You save one and live off the other. You do that for 2 years. The books say 7 years. But out here in the days, Mark, 7 years is a long time. So, if you do that for 2 years, this will give you $20,000, okay? You can go on a sheriff sale, foreclosure, something like that there, and you can bid on a property, all right? You can bid on a property up to $20,000. You can bid on something like that there. That's today, you know, that's 2022. I don't know what's going to be like in the future because the market keeps going up. But right now with $20,000, you can do that. If you have to work 3 years, that'll give you $30,000, you know, $10,000 to do that. But if the market values are going up, that means you'll be making more than $10,000 a year too. See that little $10 an hour, you'll be making $15 an hour. That kicks your income up and everything, okay? You buy your piece of property, right? Live on the first floor, okay, and basement. That's your dwelling. You funk it out. If living in the first floor and basement is like having a two-story house. And on the second floor, you'll have at least three rooms. Most houses come in three bedrooms. You have three bedrooms. You can rent the bedrooms out for $500 a month, and that's low right now because most people are getting more than that. That'll give you $1,500 a month residual income coming from your property. That's right. I'm going to say it again. That'll give you $1,500 a month residual income coming from your property, okay? That means that you're not paying no rent. You're not paying no mortgage. You're not paying no electric bill. No gas bill, no phone bill, no food bill. You see what I'm saying? You're basically living off the residual income that's coming from the building that you're renting out. You see? You feel me? So you're living basically free. So every dime that you make once you get your property goes where? Into your savings. To do what? To get more property, or if you want to put the down payment for school, you can buy your little car now. You see what I'm saying? Because now, when you buy that car, don't buy that car to make payments. That's the worst thing you do. Whatever money you have, you take that money, pay cash, go get your car. Okay? Don't do the payment situation, you know? And you just keep up with but you make the payment. But you make payments to yourself. You don't make payments to the car dealers. You make payments to yourself. Once you buy a car and you make maybe $200 a month, you might be paying for your car, but you have a separate account. You have set up different accounts for that money. One account is for your car account. You put $200 a month payment in that in that account for your car, all right? Now, you just keep that going. Even though you're working and all, you keep that going. At any time the car broke down or you got to make any payments, stuff like that there, then then you take that money out of the payments you're making for the car. You follow what I'm saying? And when you get to the point that the car, that you have enough money in there from paying that little bit of money every month that the car is paid for, now you can think about getting another car. It might go a little bit longer. Instead of paying $2,000-$3,000 for the car that you just bought, you might want to up the ante and pay $4,000-$5,000 for the next car, you know? But you're making those payments to yourself so that you can increase. You can constantly increase. That's what's going on, okay? Now, once you do that, you get that building, you've got them three floors running out. Now you have what we call residual income. What is residual income? Residual income is somebody working and paying you. That's residual income, okay? Hello? I'm going to say it again. Residual income is somebody working and paying you. If you don't have somebody working and paying you, then what you have is a job. Hello? What you have is a job, all right? Now, we can be talking about different things. We can, why the Bible is so powerful. We can also be talking about the diets that's in the Bible, too. But you have two different diets in the Bible. You have the diet of the upright person, then you have the diet of the sinner. When you get into Leviticus, they talk about burnt and sin offerings, and they have certain things that you do with the sin offerings and all that you eat and everything. So then they have restrictions on what you can bring in for a sin offering, what type of fish and all that kind of stuff you can bring in for a sin offering. But the basic diet, the one that these guys were using to be here for 200 to 900 years, is in Genesis. Because once Genesis is going, they're not living like that. Once you get into the village and Deuteronomy and all that, they're not living these 900 years no more because they're eating the flesh. They started eating that flesh, you know? And that's a whole nother conversation. We'll get into that. But you don't wanna be consuming that flesh out there if you can help it, all right? Now we got about 5 minutes left. I think what I got here. Yeah, I got about 5 minutes left here. So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna make the assertion we don't pray. We ask for what we want, because we know it's coming. I'm going to make the assertion. I have walked the path of being honest and good, and I'll keep my mind focused on reward yourself. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of the enlightened, and I will get what I want, okay? Now, that's the whole key to the thing is, what do you want? My mom used to say, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it, okay? So you have to be careful what you're doing, careful how you're doing. You have to be careful about everything, all right? Okay. So let's recap for a minute, all right? We went into where the flow is coming from for the Christ consciousness. Let me run that by you. Let me run that out again because we need to know that, you know? The oral tradition of Christ comes from the Dogon, okay? The first written tradition comes from Isis and Osiris. They spell Christ K-R-S-T. Now, when you Google that word, KRST, you'll find out that they know. They got Christ stuff everywhere. KRST radio station, KRST this, KRST that. It ain't like they don't know what's going on out there. But you don't know because they're not letting you know what's happening, okay? Then the next, it went to Amun-Ra. There's a reason why you say Amen after all your prayers, okay? Then it went to Upanishad. That's in the Hindu tradition. Then it went to Buddha. Then it went to Jesus of Nazareth. Then it went to Muhammad. And after that, these type of guys ain't coming no more. Okay? That's not happening again. Because we are so conscious right now that we can literally get into the consciousness to get what we want. We are designers. So we can design all kinds of stuff. And if you have trouble with a design thing, all you got to do is ask. And you'll get it. There's no limit to what you can do as a God, as a designer. You can design whatever you want, be anything that you want. because you got it like that. That's what I'm trying to tell you right now. You got it like that. Stop listening to these crazy people trying to explain to you and teach you what's in the Bible. None of them out there is qualified to teach you. The only qualified teacher is I'm going to say Jesus Christ, okay? The Christ consciousness. When I say Jesus, that locks you in the Christ. So the red Jesus Christ, that locks you in the consciousness, okay? That's the only thing that's qualified to teach you, because it says in the last days, going to send you something, going to teach you himself. The conscience is going to be taught to you directly. You're not going to need all this account stuff, okay? And your conscience is going to be at the point that you will be able to understand and see this stuff. That's what I'm talking about now, okay? remember, I'm not sure what days I'm on or what days I'll be able to get on, right? So I'm getting on when I can get on, but I'm going to give you as much information as possible. I'm going to share with you so that you can connect up with the master teacher. Remember, not me, nobody out there is qualified to teach you about this book. Christ, that's your master teacher, but you have to accept that, okay? We're not talking about believing. We're talking about acceptance, okay? So once you accept that, things will begin to open up for you. Things will begin to be different because you'll get answers, real answers to your questions, okay? And that's where we are right now. And with that, I'm going to be signing off. And just remember, love is the act that makes others feel good, okay? Thank you so much for listening, for tuning in. I appreciate that. And we will chit-chat at another time. So these episodes are recorded. So if you can't, I'm not broadcasting between 8 and 9 like I'm supposed to, but you can always call in the Blog Talk Radio, chime in the Blog Talk Radio, and you can get the latest episodes that I'm giving out, okay? And with that, I will see you all at the next session. Thank you very much.